estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 492. I'm Adam, and you are the weakest link. Goodbye. And here's Robert Haynes.
Ladies, your viewing figures just went all the way up.
Mary Lang.
You are live. Please do not swear.
And is it a Kirby Bartlett Sloan?
That makes them half human.
On their mother's side.
What are you on about?
No fair whispering.
I don't know what you're on about. I don't.
What do you mean?
I don't remember that bit.
The Rose says that makes them half human. So I'm asking on their mother's side.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm. Okay, well done. Oh, okay, you're right. Yeah, so we're waiting for Ben. I don't know what he's up to. Probably getting myself nails in and screwing some things into his man cave. Maybe he's forgotten we're on tonight, or maybe he's not got the time correct for the British summertime situation.
Two sheds, Ben, right?
Arthur, two sheds, Jackson. I've actually funny to say about that. I've been watching Monty Python at the Hollywood Bowl. Highly amusing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that one.
But I didn't notice.
Albatross.
You know, I did notice that some of the video, I can hear myself coming back, isn't that weird? Some of the videos they played to the audience at the Hollywood Bowl is like the same videos they played when I went to see them at the O2. Right, Doctor Who.
Well, when you've got successful material, why waste it?
Doctor Who and its Bad Wolf, which starts with 100 years later, because they did the little recap of the last time they were on Deep Space Nine. Nobody's saying anything. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a rather long recap.
It was a bit of a long recap, actually. Good minute into the video before the Doctor arrives in one of the Big Brother houses. It's beautifully designed.
Master?
Pardon?
Master? This particular story, the beginning of this story, dates itself more and more as the years go by.
Well, because there's no Big Brother and there's no Weaker's Link.
Well, I've had issues. Well, the last time we talked about this one, I've had issues with the fact that these game shows. I don't know about Big Brother, but I don't think the other two game shows still exist at all. So if someone's watching this now,
well, Big Brother exists in other countries. It's just not on here at the
moment. Oh yeah, I watched the first series of Big Brother when it was on here in the U.S. 23 years ago or something.
And Weakest Link finished.
It matters because I think that, you know, the idea is that these people are on elimination shows, whether it's satirizing ones they've currently seen or sometime in the future. I don't think it'll matter. I think people will just recognize that they are.
It's just a little homage, isn't it? Games. Homage to the popular stuff that was popular in 2005, whatever it was. 2006, 2005, whenever this was on. I will say that you said about other game shows. The only ones I remember seeing were Weakest Link and Big Brother. I know there was mention of other game shows.
No, the one which is the makeover show that Captain Jack is in.
Oh, that's not a game show, is it? So that was just a reality makeover show. Hang on, I'm getting sniffed at at the door. Oh, here he is. It's Mr. Nappy Pants Dog. He has to wear a nappy, and then a nappy is a diaper for those in America. The correct
term is
nappy. So we have to put him out, so we'll let him out, get out. So I'll then take the nappy off because he dribbles so much. Back to Doctor Who. Right, so the Doctor arrives in the Big Brother house he sort of just arrives in this little box. He's a bit confused. Who's the actress that played Linda with
something?
A Y? She's been in loads of stuff since then. Sorry?
I can't. I said, can I mention something?
No.
Because you're talking about Big Brother didn't used to be on here for a number of years, and it just came back last year. Mm-hmm. So There's nothing to say that shows can't go away.
Of course, that happens all the time. Doctor Who did it, didn't they? Yeah. Stuff's been coming through on the feed.
So there, Kirby.
Nearly. Coming through on the feed, we've got Lillian Robin, Are You on Fire? No. Tim Drury. Oh, Tim Drury. Oh, God, I've got my priority jingle. This is slick, isn't it? Where's Ben? Oh, for God's sake.
Maybe he's forgotten because of the time change.
No, I messaged him this afternoon. He said, yeah, just setting up now. So you can join in as soon as I'm back from dropping Mia home. Maybe he's caught in traffic.
The Linda with a Y?
Yes.
She was on EastEnders.
Yeah, she was. Max Branning's wife.
She was Yeah.
She was also in Coronation Street, one of the few actors, like her and Michelle Collins, that was in both EastEnders and Coronation Street. Just saying. Right, what was I doing? Oh, your priority jingle, sorry. This is how it's done, Tim, by the way, podcasting. I'm being facetious. Right then, where's my priority jingles folder, Robert? I can't find my priority. I found it now. Oh no, it's gone to skip past it. Here it is. Right then, here we go. Slowly. Got there in the end, didn't we, Tim? Yeah, the show's on fire, and so is Adam Pearson.
How long did that take?
Be quiet. Terry Miles says, is it hot in Cowes today? No, that's the point I was trying to make. And Debbie Melrose says, scary, which is short for should be clearly around everybody on the show today. But can't, cause don't feel very well. Right then, so back to Doctor Who. So the Doctor... I want to skip through this, because it's a two-part story which you're holding up, Kirby. I do love the design, because it's very Big Brother, especially the eye-shaped button, which they still... Nappy Pants wants to leave. Do bear with me.
I'm not holding it up. Nappy Pants is holding it up.
Yeah, Nappy Pants is gone. And I'm sure we'll be back in a minute. So the Doctor goes and sits in the diary room, and then we have the title sequence. Rose, meanwhile, lands in a studio with Patterson Joseph, who is in Timeless, I believe, which is a time travel-based show from Netflix, or it might not even be from Netflix, it's on Netflix, in which he plays a bit of a sinister baddie in it. Anyway,
he was touted in Neverwhere.
Was he? He was touted to be the replacement to David Tennant at some point, but that never transpired. Maybe because he was doing Timeless. What?
Still time.
Anyway, Rose is going to be on The Weakest Link, although there's far fewer contestants on it than normally on Weakest Link, or was on Weakest Link. And the Anne droid is rather cool. And I'm sure Anne Robinson, who's no longer on telly, would have loved to have been represented in this particular form.
Meanwhile, since it's her voice.
Yes, it's all their voices. It's Trini and Susanna's voices in that this is a perfect scene for John Barrowman and Captain Jack. It's just great. I love that. It's funny. But I love the way this part of it is slightly comedic, this whole setup, and then it goes, it sort of flips and becomes very dark, and I think that works really, really well. Anyway, so
a facelift.
Doctor makes...
Yeah, I didn't say it didn't work. I said that it's just dated. Okay.
The Doctor makes gets friendly with potential companion Linda with a Y. And then he sort of remembers that they all got zapped out of the TARDIS via transmat to these locations. When Rose starts playing the quiz, because she didn't really want to do it initially, she gets sort of talked into it by Patterson Joseph, otherwise known as Roderick. And once the quiz starts, and one of the questions it comes to the end of the first round, and of course. One of these ladies is the weakest link, and she starts grizzling, and she's sort of, it's really funny, and then she gets zapped out of it. But apparently she gets transmatted somewhere, doesn't she? No? No.
Yes.
Well,
never to be seen again.
I don't know. It wasn't written by Stephen Moffat, so we have to think that some of them were killed and some of them were. In fact, the old thing was the Daleks manipulating things so they could get hold of the Doctor, etc., etc. Anyway, back to... there's a great scene where John Barrowman's sort of trying not sorry Captain Jack, who's trying on various articles of clothing, and he makes a grab for a robot. Trini strokes Susanna's boob, which I wouldn't have thought that was scripted, but it was so Captain Jack. Brilliant. Okay, I'll just talk to myself. Things start turning a bit dark in the Weakest Link studio as people start dying, and their bloke, just to show you don't have to walk off the show, they have to kill the beetle haircut bloke who just runs off and gets zapped into powder. And meanwhile, in the Big Brother house, it's eviction time, and of course, she takes it. The girl who gets evicted does take it a little bit better than the bloke who ran off in a sort of panic in the Weakest Link program. The doctor sort of gets a bit bored. He sort of leans back and watches what he thinks is her essentially leaving to the audience and crowds cheering and stuff, but she gets zapped by a laser beam, and then he suddenly wakes up and thinks, hang on, that shouldn't be happening, and he decides he's going to get out. We do see some scenes as it downstairs with the woman that I thought looked a bit like that actress that's in the Doctor Strange films with the bald head. Never mind.
No idea.
No, that's not downstairs. That's 4 or 500.
I couldn't remember if it was upstairs or downstairs. I just said elsewhere then. You say it's upstairs.
Show upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah, anyway.
It's the same floor that the creature in the ceiling was in.
Jagger.
Right, okay, yes. Well, thank you for that. Yes, anyway, so this spaghetti woman seems to be controlling everything, and...
spaghetti woman.
She's known as the controller.
You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of in Minority Report, the one who lays down in the pool with the two guys.
Never seen that film, so I don't know what you're referring to.
I've never seen it either.
Oh, goodness sake.
Right, anyway, so Captain...
I just talked to myself then.
Captain Jack is going to have a facelift.
She's been the actress who played the controller has been in two audio dramas, The Nowhere Place and 100 Doctor Who audio dramas.
Splendid.
I've heard them.
Captain Jack is going to have a facelift, but literally. He produces a gun from a he said Ben saying it's going to be about 15 minutes. He produces a gun from somewhere you really don't want to know.
No.
But still, again, so Captain Jack. As Roderick tells Rose that he's going to try and keep her in because she thinks she's thick and he can therefore win the quiz. And then there's mention of the Bad Wolf thing. And then, of course, Rose has a little bit flashback for all the times that Bad Wolf has been mentioned. I just said they missed a couple. Right, that is it. Where's the... You're lucky I can't find it.
He gets the buzzer, surely.
I'm having issues with my DVD player. Let me change to my other drive.
Anyway, back to the live feed. Well, actually, I've got to click on something because I want to see all of the comments, not just some of them. So I'm clicking on the video. I might hear myself briefly.
No.
Yeah, that's me saying no. How appropriate. Gail Wallace says, oh my goodness, Hez on fire. And then Brandon Moore says, you're smoking. I don't think there's any smoke coming off. It's just flames at the moment. I feel a little bit like... was that superhero that's always on fire? Is it one of the Fantastic Four?
Oh, yeah, the Fantastic Four, yeah.
Look, I can even do that with my finger. Yeah, cool. Right then, back to the... that's work on an audio presentation, but if you happen to be watching the live feed on the Facebook group... what's the Facebook group called, Kirby? Oh dear!
He's got to change his drive.
Hey?
He's got to change his drive because of his DVD.
We haven't got a drive. I have to park my car. It's right outside the house. Right then, where were
we? I'm having issues with my DVD. Again.
Don't, what a shame. Anyway, the doctor gets Linda with a Y out because he likes her. I think I could travel with you, couldn't I? Yeah, you could.
Doctor Who podcast, which you can join.
Slight delay there. I know that we get this over the World Wide Web, but that was very delayed. anyway, so, yeah, the doctor's out and he's trying to get into the various studios.
Can I mention something, though? Oh,
No.
Wouldn't the Daleks... Wouldn't it be easy to just kill the doctor right then and there?
You know,
they're not there, are they?
Then they wouldn't have any problems with him.
They're scared of him.
Dumb Daleks.
Pardon?
That happens all the time. Whenever they first arrived and see the doctor, they could immediately zap him.
They could
him
do,
and,
but they're Daleks and they're scared of him. They don't know that he might not tell him his right. other selves, etc.
You know what I'm
going
to have to do?
You're not going to have to reboot, are you?
I'm going to bring my phone out, and I'm going to start up HBO Max on my phone and not use the darn DVD at all, and I'll just have to follow along that way.
Okay.
You know what, Kirby? We don't care. The rest of us just listen to Ed.
I'm watching mine on Apple TV. But anyway, let's move on. Right then. So
I
the
got
doctor.
My
Spaghetti Woman is. She can't actually listen to anything because she's tuned in. But there's a point in which some slow solar flares start coming, which interfere with the signal. She's able to communicate with a couple of people. And then the doctor realizes where they are because they at the end of the room with the and they're on obviously Deep Space
location.
Deep Space Nine. And then he's
Deep
really
Space
quite
Nine.
He's quite keen to get to Rose, who's getting in a deeper and deeper shame as she's now in the final of the Weakest Link, which I should love that game show. It was a brilliant game show that. It's Forerunner to the Chase, but the Chase is better. And I noticed I used, you know...
Is the presenter on the Chase as mean as Android? I mean, and... She seems mean.
Up to the point, but they didn't kill people. She was exactly the same without the killing.
The Chase is Bradley
Walsh. Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about The Weakest Link. Yeah, why did you not know the Chase is Bradley Walsh? We've talked about it several times on this show. Anyway, Brandon Moore says, "Et me reboot, Kirby." I think that's what it says. And then hold on. Hang on. That's what Kirby usually says. Hang on, I'm just going to reboot. Right, where were we?
I didn't reboot. I'm just using a secondary device.
No, but you used to say, hang on, I'm just going to... used to say it quite regularly on the show back in the retro days. So, as I was trying to say, Rose is in the shadow... I thought you were going to tell me off for being too loud. Good grief. The door opened, and sometimes that can be bad. What I was going to say before Robert interrupted me. Yes, Robert interrupted me, not Kirby. The little graphics, now the plasma sort of graphics, are the same as the Borg would have had above their heads in Star Trek. So, yeah, that was sort of a bit non-original. Anyway, so the Doctor gets into the studio just as Rose gets apparently zapped. And ends up as a pile of sand on the floor. The doctor is
not for pills.
Well, we don't know that at the moment. We think she's dead, and so does he. And he's very upset.
She's getting better.
Very upset. Anyway, they get locked in the cage, and they have a plan. Well, the doctor has a plan to use himself and Captain Jack just to sort of fight their way out of the. Pardon.
When I was watching it last night, I was noticing it's been years since I've watched this one. You actually think that he doesn't have a plan because he just seems so despondent over the loss of Rose. And he's just sitting there
But he's been despondent about loss of Rose on several occasions during this series. I think after the second time
He's sitting there in that cell just looking so incredibly depressed.
Upset. Well, I think he quite likes her, Kirby.
Yes.
Well, and he also made a promise to Jackie that he would bring her back safe.
Yes, he did. But he's had opportunities to do that when she's nearly died on previous occasions. Anyway, the doctor comes and meets Spaghetti Woman and does a bit of shouting here and there. And Captain Jack finds a TARDIS, which appears out of the blue. And he gets the extrapolator. And then, what?
It doesn't appear out of the blue.
Yes, it does. It appears out of the blue.
In that little room. Yes. And they already made a reference that you can't get in that little room.
Why?
Many minutes before.
Yeah, but they mention the TARDIS? No, they didn't. Thank you. I'm right again. Brandon Moore says, oh, yeah, it was hang on, wasn't it? I'm surprised Kirby didn't correct me. No, he corrected me incorrectly. Where were we?
I was busy.
Were you? Oh, dear. Right then. So I'm just moving forward a bit. Yeah, the doctor is moaning about a lot of stuff. And then he realizes that this zapping thing is actually a transmat because he zaps Linda with a Y and then brings
Master,
her back. What?
The doctor doesn't realize this.
Captain Jack
goes into
I'm
the
not really
TARDIS.
Surprised I get yeah. distracted because there's constant interruptions. It's not really surprising, is it? All I ever get is interruptions and making me look stupid, and I know I'm right. Well, I would have been right if I was allowed to actually say a whole sentence without interruption.
You would have been right if you were right.
Thank you. Anyway, so yeah, of course, they then realise that she's not dead.
She's getting better.
And she's actually on the Dalek ship with Spaghetti Woman, who's also been zapped up there. Spaghetti Woman's particularly pleased she's now free of what she was sort of tied
very
to, but for about 5 seconds before she gets killed. Yeah. Or exterminated, shall we say. It is a bit of a shame they did sort of spoil the fact the Daleks were in this story, because they were hiding the Daleks, even though, because they'd mentioned and showed it in the preview that the Daleks were in it, it was fairly obvious. You know, maybe it wouldn't have been so obvious if they hadn't done that.
Well, it would have been nice if the first inkling you got was hearing that, you know, the background thing that they have when they show the Daleks.
Yeah,
I love that.
And only Doctor Who fans would have known that that is the Dalek.
I mean, that would have been brilliant if they did it.
I agree.
Like that.
Do you know what, Robert? Because you agreed with me. Right then. Oh. So yeah, Rose is now a prisoner of the Daleks. So that's a title of another Doctor Who story. Isn't it? The Prisoner of the Daleks, probably. And they're saying if you don't whatever they asked him to do, we will kill Rose Tyler. Go on then. Anyway, and of course, all the Daleks start flying and all hell breaks loose, and then it's the end of the episode. I can't believe I actually got for 25 minutes to do quite well there, Kirby.
The Doctor promises he's going to come get her.
Yeah. I shall like that, and I think the 10th Doctor did that with Martha. Was it in 42?
Mm.
All right.
Don't talk about Martha.
What's wrong with Martha?
Oh, wait, no, Martha.
Oh, I love the Doctor so much.
Oh, be quiet. Rose was allowed to love the Doctor so much. How come Martha wasn't? I think a lot of the love that these people feel for him is not so much a romantic love. It's a love of the fun they can have with him, really. You know, the dynamic life they have travelling with him. Right then, back to... This is Parting of the Ways. So a bit of a recap, which goes on and on and on, like what we said. This is a Dr. Kick-Ass scenario when they sort of arrive on the Dalek spaceship. And I love the way that they materialise around the Dalek and Rose. Mm-hmm. And then, Captain Jack...
But weren't they a bit slow with get down, Rose? And, take forever just getting down.
Does it matter? Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. She was a bit stunned. No, sorry. She was a bit stunned the fact that all this was happening and she was saved and had a cuddle with Captain Jack, and the Doctor examines the corpse of the Dalek. And then, of course, he's got this special force field because he's able to go out and, because they say exterminate, and then nothing happens because of the force field. But then there's a scene also when he walks out and sees the Emperor Dalek. Very, very long extended force field for that little bit. I would imagine
Did you know they also kept that in darkness? So some Dalek must have had his hand on
it
the dimmer.
It does. It's for dramatic. Do you not know theatre? It's for dramatic effect. Hang on, I haven't got any theatre people with us tonight. Oh, where's Kirsty when you need her? For God's sake, she's never around when you need her.
I used to do plays, thank you very much.
She's going to be on next week.
Is she now? A bit late then, isn't it? No one can back me up.
Master?
What?
Master?
What?
Can I? It took me a while to find the reference.
Oh, dear.
That's why I've been quiet. But it's back when the... when the Doctor was being held in that holding cell.
Yes.
And the guard goes, "You'll be taken from this place to the Lunar Penal Colony." That's a reference to Frontier in Space.
Marvellous.
I know that.
Thanks to you. I was accidentally playing the video on, and when I should have stopped it. Right then. Brandon Moore says, "The controller says, my masters, they fear the Doctor." How did she know the Master survived the Time War? Very good. Very good. Right there, where are we going? Like I say, they extended the force field so the Doctor could go and meet his mate, the Emperor Dalek.
Conveniently.
Which was very cool. And I love the sneering look that Rose gives it as well when she's looking at it. Eventually, the Doctor goes back to Deep Space Nine, and all the the contestants, including Roderick, who
game
wants
station.
Shut up.
Or Satellite 5.
Whatever. Roderick wants his money, because there's slightly more pressing things at the moment. And for some reason, they don't believe in the Daleks, which reminds me a little bit of COVID, funny enough. I've got these people who just run around not believing in COVID and thinking the injections, the vaccine is some sort of way of getting us
implantation of microchips.
Tagged by the Chinese government. Anyway, moving on. So it's a bit like that. That's what I got from that. There's a lot of things in these sort of stories that involve the way people react to these sort of weird world events or universe events by just saying, "Oh, doesn't that was not real? Oh, the Earth is flat." Well,
yeah, well, they did lots of stupid things with the Brigadier, like trips in the TARDIS and all that, and then they have him in a later episode. Oh, I don't believe this is.
Well, that's only the writer of that
particular
story.
So he just suddenly forgot he went to another world and another universe, etc.
Yes, like I say, that's because that's the fault of the writers of that particular episode, and also the fact that people didn't realise at the time that people have video recorders and stuff like that. Anyway, the Doctor.
Memories.
And during the time when Catherine Tennant.
That's a bit of news.
During her
does
period,
Georgia know about that?
Shut up, Kirby.
On the show, I think in more than one episode, they made it obvious that with the Doctor proving that, in spite of people actually experiencing, these horrendous events, that later on, because it's too traumatic, that they tend to just forget about them.
Yeah.
Even Eccleston mentioned that as well earlier on. He says, "You humans, you see these things and you forget, like about the spaceship crashing and all that."
Mm-hmm. What is too traumatic or what doesn't relate directly to you, you forget about.
Mm. Can I get on now? Right then, so the Doctor's trying to sort of protect everybody on Deep Space Nine, but he knows there's a great big war coming, and he gives Linda with a Y the job of sort of watching stuff. Captain Jack gives everybody a kiss, but he gives Rose a particularly nice one. Gives the Doctor I like that scene actually when he gives both of them a kiss. I think it really works well. It's time for a war fitting.
Nobody has COVID.
It's time for a war fitting, as in they're all set up for war. And of course, still some of the contestants don't believe in Daleks, and so the Doctor and Rose. Pardon?
They soon will.
Yeah. The Doctor and Rose set about their Doctor's futile bid to save everybody. He knows it's futile. So I love this scene. When he realises he hasn't got enough time, he looks totally forlorn, and then he suddenly changes his sort of demeanour and says, "Oh, Rose, we can do this. You go into the TARDIS and hold this button." Mm-hmm. And then sends her back to Earth. That's so good.
Very good scene.
She doesn't like that at all, though, when she arrives. And of course, we get that dramatic scene of the hologram Doctor saying,
"I love that scene.
I love how it turns to look at her."
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that was great.
And she arrives back home with Mickey Haircut, who gives her a cuddle, while the Captain Jack sort of tries to help the Doctor while they banter off against the Emperor Dalek, who's very, very smug. Obviously, that's an emotion that Daleks do have, apparently. And Cybermen and Borg as well. A lot of smugness going on for these creatures that don't have emotions. So Rose then has a little cup of coffee in a local cafe, moans and grumbles that she's got a much better life with the Doctor and she wants to get back.
Now, I love the speech that she gives. Yes. I think they wrote a really good speech for her about not just living your life, but believing in something and really standing for it. I thought, I'm cheering her on when I'm here.
Yeah. And then all the Daleks come out of the spaceship and do their invasion. And then suddenly Bad Wolf is really everywhere. And Rose then realises that it must be some sort of message for her.
Master?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I'll stop interrupting.
Yeah, that's the first time. Yeah, first time that's ever happened, everyone. There we are. There's the historic moment. Get that timing right on your recordings, and we'll sound capture that one for episode 500, which is in 8 episodes' time. In fact, I might have to soundbite it and have it as a priority jingle. Anyway, sorry, I'll carry on, Kirby.
Back when we 9 years ago when we talked about this one.
Yeah.
If you went on Street View, you could still see the Bad Wolf graffiti.
Oh.
Wow.
And since then, though, they have painted that entire playground, and it's gone. I'm so sad.
Yeah, it is.
But it's still visible if you go into Street View and go back in time.
So Rose tells Mickey that there's a panel on the console of the TARDIS which might be able to help her.
Because she'd seen it open.
So she wants to get it open. So he's got a Mini, which is obviously he's replaced his Beetle with this Mini.
Master.
It's a bit like Mr. Bean's Mini, doesn't it? While everybody. Oh, good grief.
I've been waiting for this point because of the Mini.
Yeah.
if anyone was following my social media yesterday, went to Alabama to the Unclaimed Baggage Center for shopping. Didn't buy anything. But on our way back, I was with Fred. On our way back, we were driving down this one highway, and this little Mini passes us.
Oh, yes. It was Michael Caine in it.
And it has, it's got all sorts of British stuff on the back. And then I noticed the license plate. It's, what was that?
It's that Ben. Was
Ben.
It said, pip, pip.
Oh, very good. Thank you for that. Brandon Moore says, what is the name of the street to look it up on Street View?
Yeah, come on, Kirby.
I'll post a link to the Street View, okay?
Yep.
Right, here we go.
Because this is where I should really get Mr. Shoveler.
Oh, hang on. Here he is. Got the wrong Ben. Here he is. This is the right Ben, I think.
Shen Bevela.
This should work because this is the one that comes up as online. I'm going to get very dark now. I might have to turn the light on. Alexa, front room light on.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. Let's draw the curtains.
I would have thought the...
Alexa, no.
Shut up. Well, I'm just drawing the curtains with this... This umbrella, which is a very...
Mine can't find a device called front room light.
Hang on. Hang on, I'll never do my Kirby impression. What are you doing in here? Hang on. We've got a dog that looks like a sloth in the room at the moment. Ow, what's she like? Sarah, come here. Come here, look.
Okay, I have just posted on the comment thread a link to the Street View of that playground, and of the upper left hand there's a little clock, and you can pull that down and go back in time.
Thank you for that. Look, there's if anybody's watching the live Facebook feed at the moment, there's a sloth dog is currently being cuddled by me. Don't worry, she's not on fire for anybody's joining late. She is in fact just on me. And she does look like a sloth. She's got a sock on because she's got a bad foot. See, sock on foot. And her tongue's sticking out. Her tongue's sticking out because that's what she does just to look cute. And she's 12 this year, aren't you?
Big baby.
She's 12 this year. And she's still gorgeous. Right there, she's going down. That's a sop dog who looks a bit like a sloth. Doesn't sound like one anyway. Back to Doctor Who. Oh, is Ben on?
Hello.
Hello, Ben. Ben's, have you got a quote, Ben?
Who's this?
Do I have a quote? I seem quite loud. Should I turn myself
on? No, that's right. Keep it there.
And with that sentence, you've lost the right to even talk to me.
What? What? Really?
That's a good quote.
He's giving Ben a quote.
Oh, sorry.
I appreciate the giving of the quote.
Yes.
My quote will be... Daleks!
That'll do. They're, all right, then.
They must have said Daleks at some point in this episode.
Here's one for you.
Oh, here we go.
Have you tried that new pizza place on Midnight Road?
What do they serve?
Pizza!
Right. Brilliant.
That was really worth waiting for.
It's cheers. Like, yeah, it's like Laurel and Hardy, isn't it?
No. All right, then. I'll tell you where we're up to. When,
No.
Parting of the Ways, where everybody's dying on Deep Space Nine, being zapped away by Daleks, while at the moment Mickey is trying to open up the panel of the TARDIS console with a Mini. I should say Minnie is trying to open up. Oh, God, that's Kirby's fault.
I like the fact that it's Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. Oh, well done, Kirby. I hadn't spotted that one. Ding. That one, well played.
Ooh, I get a ding.
Yeah, well, that was a good one. That was worth
so
a ding.
Minnie?
That's what
we know
she
Minnie.
Said.
Who's Minnie?
Minnie, as in Minnie Mouse.
Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse.
I know, but I thought you were referring to a Minnie in the episode.
Yeah, the car.
Yes, it's the car.
Oh,
they
okay.
Used to
okay.
Open the TARDIS.
It was a sort of a punny type thing that Kirby was achieving. Anyway, the Doctor has put Linda with a Y in charge of this monitoring thing of watching all out for the Daleks and stuff, and thinking that she'd be safe in this. Well, trying to make out he thinks she's going to be safe in this room, but of course. He isn't. Captain Jack has a bit of fun using the android to zap a Dalek or two, and then all the Daleks kill all the contestants, and there's a great scene where the Daleks are starting to cut through the door, and then they appear at the window, and you just see the lights on its head saying the words exterminate, but you can't hear it because they're outside.
Well, I like the thing really with the door, because cool. That was very old, you know, classic coup. And
yeah, I was about to say exactly the same
like
thing
that.
Robert,
it's a bit like Cage of Androzani, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, then Rose and what's Jack, isn't it? Have a conversation.
It's Jack.
About, you know, what she wants to do, and they have a bit of a row. But after a few more people die, and a few rather bizarrely, continents start changing shape when the Daleks attack them. I can't understand why they changed shape.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
I think what is noticing.
Hang on, we're getting the answer from Kirby. Drum roll.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Hang on, you didn't even give me a chance to put the drum roll in. Oh, I haven't got that one. That must be in another folder. Yeah, sorry, Ben, what were you saying?
I was going to say, I think what that was trying to show was that they were bombing the bejesus.
Yes, actually, that is what it was.
Oh, right.
That would be my.
And Australia plan. Got killed.
Yeah, that's what
the first guy.
Well, there's a light at the end of every tunnel, isn't there? Anyway, right then. No offence, Australians. That was a joke.
No, we were joking. We love the Australian fan base just as much as the New Zealand fan base, but no more than the Polish.
Anyway, so the Rose is still sulking, but then this sort of pickup truck arrives. Amazingly, it looks like Jackie's driving. I'm not sure she is. Oh, she is.
No.
Where did you get HGV license from? Anyway.
Master?
Oh, jeez.
Isn't it amazing that pickup truck or towing truck or whatever it is says London all over it. It's got Cardiff plates.
Well, that's funny you say that. Cars, that when you buy them, they don't necessarily stay in the locale that they were bought in. My old Vauxhall Viva had it was a Cumberland number plate, Barrow Inverness.
Do you have Isle of Wight number plate?
Yes, the old ones are DL. What? The new ones are HW.
Oh, right, okay. Because ours are Reading around here, even though we're near Guildford. Yeah. Those G's. We actually always get R's. My last three cars. This is really dull. Let's go.
Yeah, it is very dull indeed, but it is a fact. They don't stay in their locale. They may originate in a certain area, but they move all around the country through
I'm
car dealerships.
I'm kind of surprised, though, that the number plate would... Like here, you've got... Your license plates are based on your state, but if you're saying
what, as in drunk, inebriated, sober.
Yes. If you get a number plate in Cardiff and you move to London, you keep that number plate.
Yes, it's a registration number for that car. So say if I sold my car to a bloke who lives in Scotland, it will keep its registration number, and it will
sold it to
be
me
there.
On the mainland.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
So you're
Who.
Saying that if you buy a car in Iowa and you move to Washington, then you have to re-register the car?
Yes. Yes,
wow.
You
do.
Do
you?
Yes.
What a load of paperwork that's not necessary.
That's quite interesting too. Because when I moved to Jersey back in the mid-90s, I had to re-register my car when I got to Jersey. I didn't, but I was meant to re-register my car when I got to Jersey.
Well, your registration lasts for like a year or 2 years, depending on what you buy. But once that year, 2 year limit expires, you have to register in the state where you are currently living.
Oh, every day here is a school day, isn't it?
No, it's a shame if you've got a personalised number plate, isn't it? Anyway, right, Alice Butcher makes a very good point.
You have to change your plates, but you have to change. Oh, I guess you do.
Alan T. Butcher says, it's true that vehicles are generally mobile. So, yes, thank you, Alan.
They are. Thank you, Alan.
So, see, now people are just, like, backing up Kirby with ridiculous.
Brandon Moore says, do you remember back in the 80s when cars were the size of bricks? And then, or the shape of bricks, maybe, I don't know. And then he said, wait, what? Back to Doctor Who. Right, so Jackie's got a pickup truck, which...
Do you remember the days when you used to edit this?
Yeah.
maybe so.
Well, yeah, that was a waste of time.
Long ago. You have to record our audio and send it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad, the internet these days. Back to Doctor, since Mary's got a Mac and her microphone's all right.
The past since I've come on. I am sorry.
Where was I? So Jackie comes up trumps with the pickup truck while a few more people die on the Deep Space Nine. And there's a moment in which a couple of the characters decide they love each other. You can't resist it, can you, Kirby? I'm clearly doing it for... a particular reason. And they chain the what's that thing called again? Well, Linda, what's her name, dies. Linda with the wide eyes. They chain the recovery thingy to the door on the panel of the TARDIS console, which eventually pops up, allows Rose to stare at it for a bit.
She said.
And then the doors of the TARDIS slam, and off it goes. While Captain Jack
off it goes
starts. Getting himself into a bit of a corner prior to his first death. Pardon?
I said Moffat goes.
Moffat? What are you on about?
You said
and off it goes. And off it goes.
This isn't a Moffat story.
Moffat to look forward to.
And then the Doctor realises
that the... Moffat, apart from the ending bit.
The Doctor realises the game's up.
Repeating.
Excuse me, just stop interrupting, so I'm trying to do a joke here. The Doctor realises the...
I love the way you Jesus have to say Christ. You're going to do one before you do it.
Well, it's very difficult on this show, coming up with comedy, because everybody interrupts everybody. The Doctor realises... Jesus.
Funny.
It will be funny if you allow me to say it. The Doctor realises that the game's up. Bit of game pie up there. That's a Fawlty Towers reference that anybody who likes Fawlty Towers would have enjoyed, but obviously you lot don't.
No,
the
I
Doctor
really appreciate Fawlty Towers, but I think my fellow... My fellow podcasters are as confused as
well, you wouldn't have been confused letting me get it out 10 minutes ago. Right, where were we? Oh, yeah, so the Doctor prepares himself for death. He puts his arms around in a way in which he's going to regenerate. Is that a hint? Something. And the TARDIS arrives, and a load of regeneration-y energy comes out of it while Rose steps out in a goddessy way and rather coolly destroys lots of things and tells the story of Bad Wolf. And she's not feeling very well. After she zaps a few Daleks, and the bit where the Emperor Dalek goes, I cannot die.
God.
And the Doctor says, you need a doctor, and gives her a big smooch, which she brings back Jack back to life as well. That's quite a key thing. There was actually mention in that we forgot to mention called Kirby. We're going to blame him for this because of all the interruptions in the 15 to 1. What's the other game show she's on? Weakest Link. One of the questions was, the Torchwood Institute, the first mention of. Kirby
that
didn't
was
pick up on that.
One of my possible quotes.
First mention of the Torchwood. In fact, the first mention of Torchwood in Doctor Who. Anyway, the Doctor gives Rose a smooch, and Captain Jack sort of runs, but doesn't quite get to them in time after he dematerialises. And then we have the...
It's all right, we'll see him again.
Yeah, then we have the end of 90, says goodbye and welcome in Tenny, whose first word was, new teeth, that's weird.
Do you mean tenant?
No.
Not yeah. Tenny.
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 New teeth, that's weird. And that's the end of that. Right. Right, so this particular story, because it's a two-parter, is one of my favourites of all time. In fact, I still feel that Parting of the Ways is my favourite episode of New Who. Absolutely adore it. It's on the edge of your seat stuff all the way through. Lots of deaths, but I'm not saying I like stuff with deaths in it. Just
you think better?
Had to be because the Daleks. You know, the Daleks had to be, you know, scary, and they were. But I I just love this so much. You lot hate. I know you hate it. I don't care.
What?
I love this story so much. Parting of the Ways is absolute genius, Doctor Who. It's so, so good. And what a great episode. One, to get we see Nine go, or Eccleston go, who was a great Doctor, even for one series, was a great Doctor. And then bring him one who, an actor who really did lift Doctor Who up into another level. Absolutely bang on, superb. Okay, and I have a preface for the bad comments. Robert, what did you think?
Yeah, it actually is one of my favourites of New Who as well. There's a genuine, I got a sort of genuine thrill of actually watching it again, and just, I don't know, the end of The Long Game, you know, you just, it builds and builds up. And then, you know, just delivering this episode. But I would be remiss if I didn't point out things that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a magic get out of jail.
No, he's in the other room.
Thing. You know, we sprinkle a bit of fairy dust around and everything's all right. Which got overused in the RTD era. So I hated that.
He had a lot of fairy dust.
Yeah. But yeah, there were so many brilliant moments, like as Mary mentioned, the speech with Rose, and as Kirby mentioned, when the hologram's talking to Rose and just turns at the last moment and says something. And yeah, bits like that, it's like, oh, you know, this is top-notch kind of stuff. So yeah, great stuff like that. But yeah, I think it all went downhill after that. I mean, I'm talking about the finales. You know, this one it would have been so great if last week they hadn't teased that the week before that the Daleks weren't coming back, sort of thing. It would have been lovely to have just, you know, when Rose gets transmitted over and we see that she's still alive and you hear that Dalek background noise, and yeah, really, you know, that would have been just so much of an impact. But you know, they had to spoil things. Maybe they figured, oh, people aren't going to come back and tune in. Ooh. But what, yeah, it was a Robert, real
Robert, just so that you all know, because we're all complaining about the showing of the Daleks in the coming attractions. I read that that was not a big deal at the time because the Radio Times had already splashed everywhere that the Daleks were returning in the finale.
Yeah, but Mary, I didn't see that.
Very well, good.
I don't have the Radio Times here.
Well, you should subscribe to it. It's quite reasonable.
So, I mean, everybody knew, so it wasn't a big deal. So I couldn't have been spoiled. I mean, all I knew, the newspaper did spoil that what's the name had already left, Eccleston had already left, and that Tennant was taking over. That stuff I already knew, but I didn't know that, you know, the Daleks were in the thing until I saw the, you know, oh, next time. Okay. So I mean, it wasn't spoiled for me. I really loved it. I thought it was one of the best finales of New Who that I've seen.
Thank you, Robert.
But not one of the best stories of New Who?
As I said, you know, probably let down a bit by, you know, we can't get out of this thing. We'll just sprinkle some fairy dust around. But it's pretty explained logically, I guess, with the, you know, the TARDIS energy and all that kind of stuff. But one thing I was going to say is that Eccleston in this, it sort of reminded me of Caves of Androzani, in that it's like Davison knew it was his last story, so he put all his energy and effort into it.
Mm.
And, you know, Eccleston was like the same, oh, this is my last story, I'm going to really go for it. Oh, and right. He really
definitely
did.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. So I love that too, yeah.
Except... I don't think that he knew necessarily it was his last story, because they filmed this when they filmed at the same time they filmed Long Game. And I'm not sure during what filming block it was.
Well, I think he had already... Hadn't the time... Obviously, it was released in the week after the first episode that he was leaving. Mm-hmm. And it had all been wrapped by then, surely.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you, Robert. Stuff coming through on the feed. Lee Anthony Davis says, hello. Brandon Moore says, Radio Times, is Ben lamenting his past career? Were you on the radio? Oh, of course. Ah, yes. Very good.
Yes, I was once editor of Radio Times. I had the privilege of making up what went on the telly.
Yeah, what happened there? I've gone multiple.
I did once consider subscribing to it, even though I lived in the States.
It was a good read, Kirby. Oh, you'd have enjoyed
this one.
I have a couple of them.
Right, back to... Oh, yeah, sorry. Then when you go... Brandon Moore says, Bow Wow Adam, because I had my dog filter on just a minute ago. And Gail Wallace said, he's gone Dalmatian. Had, but not anymore. things you do when Robert's talking on the show. Yes. Ben, what do you think of Bad Wolf Parting of the Ways?
Well, put it like this. I was in the shower earlier. I know, it's Sunday here.
Too much information.
And I was looking down. No. And and I thought to myself, and this was about 1:30 this afternoon, I thought to myself, why didn't I watch that last night?
You should have.
Because I sat in my shed last night from about 11 o'clock till, well, I don't know, it was about 2:30, but the clocks had changed. And I was just doing stuff on my music-y radio thingy, and the whole time I was sat, I just listened to that, and I should have watched, and it annoyed me that I didn't re-watch it before tonight.
Is that because it's fun?
Because I think it's that good an episode. I absolutely love it. It's the absolute, for me, the standout of series one.
Yes.
It's everything a finale should be. It builds up brilliantly. It builds and it builds and it builds, and you know what's happening and you know what's coming, and then this massive crescendo at the end of Rose coming back and the TARDIS dematerializing and coming out and looking all freaky and giving it the whole, you are tiny, I can see the whole of time and space, every atom of your existence, and I defy that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Christopher Eccleston is just brilliant.
They're
this
all brilliant.
His performance as this is him. As Doctor Who, he was fantastic, to borrow a phrase, in this episode. And the writing, I think, was brilliant. It was just wonderful. And thinking back about watching it now, the first time I saw it, the whole encompassing, everything in the episode, just building at the end. And then, you know, it was the first time Doctor Who had a proper... You know, series cliffhanger for ever, really, because the series used to just finish with the end of the story, didn't they? And everything had been resolved. And this was it. This
Logopolis was a bit of a cliffhanger, wasn't it? If I seem to remember rightly.
So, and everything leading up to that point just led to the end bit. And then the final scene with Eccleston and Billy Piper in the TARDIS when everything has had its magic sprinkle of fairy dust, which... I think you're allowed to do that. I see no issue with that at all. It all still makes sense, and it just, all right, it's kind of like a little bit, we can do anything and press the reset button. But obviously, that happened many times in future series as well.
Yeah.
And as I say, Eccleston at the end, his goodbye speech.
Yeah.
And then into the regeneration, the thing that everyone who watches Doctor Who wants to see is the regeneration.
Yeah.
And this is the regeneration at the end of a first series of it coming back.
Yeah.
And the effect of the regeneration, the new regeneration, the fire, that's everything coming out of the Doctor, and not just a little bit of a visual effect over his face, blanking it out momentarily. It was sensational. It was just it was probably the TV moment of the year.
Yeah.
And a fantastic episode. A brilliant end to a brilliant series, and very, as a lot of people have said, very sad to see Christopher Eccleston not do more, because he was brilliant, and I'd have loved to have seen more of his Mancunian Northern I wouldn't say arrogance, but it is kind of an arrogance in the role. And I wish he'd done two or three more series, and then we'd have had Tennant after that. And I think it would be in a stronger position. So for me, 9.75 out of...
Do you listen to Big Finish?
I never listened. I apologise to everyone who likes Big Finish. I just do not do Big Finish at all. I'm not interested.
Eccleston's back.
He's done
on
some
Big Finish
audios now.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't be able to see him. And it's all about the jumpers.
Wow. I mean, now, Ben, this is the first time I've ever heard you effuse like this. So are you serious, or are you putting us all on?
He's
no,
serious.
Absolutely, Mary. It's absolutely wonderful. I love this episode.
Yeah.
I love the whole first series because it, you know, as any Doctor Who fan felt at the time of watching
Slovene.
It back for the first time in 15 years. Oh, no, I hated the Slovene. There were a couple of bugs, but
the
series...
Like the whole first series.
As the series, you know, even though it had a couple of silly Slovene episodes, it, you know, it still wrangles as, you know, probably the second best series since the comeback.
It is the most consistently good series. It proves
that
Doctor Who can be good for a whole series.
But I think what that can be put down to is the fact that the first series would have had so much more planning in it and to it than any series subsequently because of the amount of time they would have had to do it. You know, they could have been working on, or they would have been working on these episodes for probably 2 years before it came back. So they had the time, and that's why I think it just flowed so brilliant. Not just the episode, the whole series just flowed. And obviously the brilliant Bad Wolf thing that went the whole way through every episode. And looking back at it now, and I say remembering what it felt like to be watching this after, you know, 15 years or however long it hadn't been on telly for, apart from that Duff movie, it was fantastic. And then. You have Tennant going to Barcelona, and then we all know what's coming next. So, absolutely, seriously, Mary, I absolutely adore these two episodes and the series in a whole. And, everyone knows how much I love Russell T. Davies' work on this programme, and I think this is one of his highlights, of his highlights. But, again, Eccleston stole the show for me in this. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Spot on.
Yes. Well, award-winning telly.
Sorry, say again?
I said it was award-winning telly.
Absolutely it was. And I think if you watched any of the recent stuff, and I know, you know, people say you can't compare your children. Well, I do. One's brilliant at school and the other one's crap. You know, so, but it's the same with Doctors and Doctor Who episodes. And... series, and you know, the most recent stuff doesn't hold a flame to the first couple.
Right, completely agree.
I mean, if we weren't doing these podcasts, I'd be tempted to just drop watching Doctor Who altogether.
Do you know, I don't know if anyone had noticed, but and it will happen again when we go through the episodes over and over again, I drop out when it gets to the ones I don't like. Because I didn't watch them and I can't be bothered to talk. And I don't like talking negatively about something that I enjoy, which is why I dropped out for a long time, because all I was saying was negative, and I appreciate that. But when you don't, when you see how good it can be and how good it was such a short time ago, it frustrates and annoys 16 me.
16 years ago.
Oh, God, don't say that. It was two Thursdays ago, wasn't it, this episode?
Yesterday for me.
Yeah. That's what I think about it. And it was, you know, the highlights. And I know nothing can be as good as it can be forever. Yeah. But I think it's just dropped way too far for way too many reasons. Yeah. And, maybe a year off and then a bit of a reboot might be an idea.
It's had a couple of years off in between episodes anyway, over the last three or four years.
Unfortunately, it will come back exactly as it was before it was.
They're not coming back anything better, yeah.
I just, you know.
Anyway, well, thank you, Ben. Robert Vance Jr. says, everyone. And Kirby Bartlett-Sohn is going to tell me what he thought of it.
I mean, put me... almost to the last, and everyone said everything already.
But what do you think, brilliant. Not what everybody else thinks. Oh, sorry.
Well, the thing is that I agree with all you guys. It's absolutely brilliant. Just one. I was watching it again last night and going, this is one of the best stories they ever had. And I was also thinking to myself last night, I wish Doctor Who were like this now.
Yeah.
Well, there's some good stuff coming up with the Tennant era, so don't worry too much. We have got, this is the RTD era, and I think we've got some good stuff coming up. Maybe not as consistently good as this series was, but still good.
Curse of the Black Spot.
I like that. Even with the Selene. The Selene, yeah, we're but still, the entire first series was brilliant, and it brought back one of my favorite TV shows of all time and showed that it could still be good.
Relevant.
And the show is extremely self-referential, and you could almost say, because of Bad Wolf and everything, what's the point in it even occurring? Because it's kind of the Bad Wolf sends the signal to Rose so that she can be Bad Wolf, so she can send the signal to Rose. It's kind of okay.
It's romantic, Kirby.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Yeah, but it works so well in this line.
Don't ever say that.
No.
And when it was happening, as I was watching last night, I'm going, I just love this. So yeah, it's just wonderful. Now, it's not my absolute favorite New Who story, which is still going to be Day of the Doctor. So
no spoilers there then. Robert Vincent Jr. says hi Robert. And hello. Are you done, Kirby, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, well,
excuse me.
Leg cover, everyone.
Brace yourselves. I'm going to get my protective hat on. It's Mary.
Well, I promise you the negativity will come in time. But right now, I too have to join, you know, the hallelujah chorus here for these two episodes, considering it as like one story, is the best. The best.
You know, it's got it early today.
I've hesitated to go back and watch these for years because I remember just being so irritated with those game show sections. Those just rankled me. Mm-hmm. So I just remember not having a very good idea of these stories or ever wanting to see them again. But rewatching it for this, I was really amazed at how impressed I was. And if you're wondering if Eccleston knew that this was his last, he did know, because in spite of his complaining and the things that all the negativity and everything that went on in the set with Billy Piper crying on his shoulder every night and the death of his father. And there just was so much bad energy around the making of this first series that Eccleston really did one out. But Russell T. Davies promised him that he was going to get the best send-off ever, and he delivered. Mm-hmm. He definitely delivered.
Absolutely.
Ding, ding.
I mean, the acting in this is superb. And we all are just, you know, drooling over how wonderful Eccleston was. I mean, he was giving us pathos and humor and action. And, you know, I mean, he was giving us everything. And it's kind of like the whole cast kind of rose to meet him. Everybody
Absolutely.
Was so good in this. The only thing I feel a little disappointed in is Billy Piper. Rose in this, because I felt like she was like a low energy throughout most of this. When she was filled with that the TARDIS time warp energy, I was hoping, you know, for her to be strong, you know, shoulders back. She's now the new, you know, Dr. Rose, like we'll get Dr. Donna later on. But instead, she seemed to kind of shrink. She didn't know what. I don't know if she was directed this way or if she just wasn't putting all of herself into it, but she instead she kind of shrank with it. She didn't know what
to
do.
Mary, it was destroying her though, wasn't it?
Well, she said it was, you know, giving her a bad headache and all that. But I mean, the things.
That is a COVID jab though.
Things that she would be able to do, she was just kind of flailing about and doing them accidentally. And this is in contrast to when she was back in back home with Jackie and Mickey, and she gave that wonderful speech about, you know, everybody lives these ordinary lives, you know, but I have been shown what it's like to really believe in something and to stand up for it. And like I said, I was cheering her on during that speech, but then she seemed to shrink through the rest of the story. So like I said, I don't know if that was a direction choice or if she just wasn't up to doing it. I mean, I know her life was still going through a really hard time at this, but yeah.
Divorcing millionaire Chris Evans, yeah.
Yeah, loved it. I think everything was done at the highest level. I think Russell T. Davies did a magnificent job of showing us what Doctor Who could be. And brought along, you know, thousands and thousands of fans back to the franchise.
Thank you, Mary. Marvelous.
Yeah. Negativity came along.
We'll have our bad episodes in the future.
Well, it's guaranteed, isn't it?
Series.
Yeah.
Right then. Thank you, Mary. So, of course, now we move on. Well, we quite liked it, everybody. We move on to feedback from Bartlett Sloan's post. So this is your bit, Kirby.
Okay, let me refresh the page just to make sure. There's not a whole lot.
That's what she said. Oh, sorry, that doesn't work.
The picture I put up was a Captain Jack in front of the Defabricator, and Robert Wince Jr. Posted, thanks for the pic, your viewers just went up. By the way, that's what she said. I also posted a picture from an extra on the DVD called The Adventures of Captain Jack, which was an interview at the time with Barrowman. And he says, yeah, I could see Captain Jack with his own TV show.
Never worked.
No. Okay. Robert Wince Jr. My review of Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways. I'm not too crazy about the first half, but the second half is great. The first part seems outdated to me, even though it's the setup for the second half. I like the CGI for the Daleks and Rose turning into God. Come to find out that Rose set up the whole Bad Wolf herself. The Doctor has to give up his life to save Rose, and she saved Jack from death, turning him into an immortal forever. We say goodbye to the Ninth Doctor's run, looking forward to hearing him on Big Finish, rating 4 out of 5. And that reminds me about something. If we keep bringing Captain Jack back, are they going to keep dyeing his hair, or what's going to happen when he starts getting wrinkles?
Well, they have to keep dyeing his hair, unfortunately, because that's Jack's character.
What's going to happen when his head swells up massively? So How are they going to cover that up with makeup?
Neil James, Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways. I'm just going to list everything I love. Christopher Eccleston, for me, he's the best Doctor of the rebooted series by a mile.
Controversial.
Billy Piper, who knew she would ever be this good of an actress? Linda with a Y, gorgeous performance. Her death is genuinely shocking.
Yeah.
Roderick, what an a-hole.
That's true.
The flashback montage of all the Bad Wolf references. Tingles. And if I may do an aside right now on that, that reminded me. When I first saw the first series and saw that section, I had not noticed the Bad Wolf stuff in every episode either. And that was my first inkling that it was happening.
Okay. So, well, thank you for that, Kirby.
Rose getting zapped by the android and the reaction it causes. Jack's anger and the Doctor's quiet shock. The controller. Her dialogue is great, and she is so striking up there like a spider in a web. Rose's jealousy at Linda is pitch perfect. I love it when Linda beats her to her line.
Beat her to a role in EastEnders as well.
Hey, I realize that Ben's not interrupting me as much.
Because he's interested.
I'm listening. I'm intently listening.
Jack going full on action hero. Last man standing. The music, awesome. Respect to Murray Gold.
Absolutely. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, good shout.
He's doing this without an orchestra still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The final Bad Wolf scene, simply stunning. As you can tell, I'm a huge fan of this two-parter. I was blown away in 2005, and I still am now every time I watch it. The regeneration is very well done, and a big welcome to David Tennant. I'm still sad to this day at the early loss of Eccleston in the title role, because as we all know, he was fantastic.
Yes.
This story works on every level for me. It's epic, exciting, emotional, surprising, and funny. No series finale since has even come close. 5 stars out of 5.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We'll find out, won't we?
I posted a picture of the half-human lion with my joke. I posted a link to the Street View, and Ian Kirk has posted his script.
Thank you. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Well. Okay, so let's move on to the next bit then, which is this bit here. So, I'll play it then.
The human race, brainless sheep being fed on a diet of... Mind you, have they still got that program where 3 people have to live with a bear? Good evening, 20 Megabyte Podcasters.
Hello, Brandon.
This is Mr. M with some feedback on Bad Wolf and The Parting of the Ways by Russell T. Davis. I first saw this episode when I was off sick from school, and it was the most exciting Doctor Who story that I'd seen so far. It, you know, Daleks, we've got regeneration, we've got big space battles, we've got people dying everywhere. It was so cool. And it's still really good now. I think that it is an exemplary performance from Christopher Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor. Dalek was a really good performance from him, but he was playing a war survivor. In this episode, he is giving the best all-round performance of the Doctor that any actor had given before this point. And he really shines throughout it, from his grief at Rose dying to his anger and vengeance at the Daleks when he says, "Rose, I'm coming to get you." And his trauma still bubbling away, which kind of reaches its peak where he says, "Coward any day." That is the moment where he is most the Doctor. Of all of his run, and it comes just before we say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
Such a shame, of course, that he didn't do more than one series, but what a performance in this episode.
Yeah, what a series.
Billy Piper does really, really well as Rose. I don't think I can ever watch that scene where she's talking with Jackie and the TARDIS about seeing her dad. I cannot watch that without starting to sort of tear up a little. And I love the intercutting between modern day contemporary Earth and whatever year it is in the future with the Daleks invading. That is something that Doctor Who had never done before, and it never really does again in that way here, contrasting the ordinary with the extraordinary. I like the way that throughout the series various things that have been... for example, Rose's dad, how much impact Father's Day had on this episode. It was a very well-constructed series, and I've also always thought that this episode would be such a good finale if they had never come back for a second series. If this had been it, if this was the last episode of Doctor Who, it's brilliant. It's everything you could possibly want as a fanboy just chucks at the screen. Captain Jack is a little bit underused, but he gets some good moments. His death, it's hard to know how much of an impact that would have had at the time, because for me, I already knew that he was going to be back in Torchwood, that he, you know, I knew that he was brought back when I saw him die. But I imagine that must have been pretty shocking, as well as the death of Linda with Y, who is so clearly being set up as a companion, and especially when Rose bites the dust, you can just see, yeah, Linda's going to take over, and we never even get to see the Doctor particularly react or acknowledge to her death. You know, in contrast to the empty jar, this is a story where everyone except the regular characters dies.
Yeah.
The whole game station premise and the game shows being there, yes, it's dated, but it works well. I think that I've watched this story during one of the tweet alongs, and I just think this does kind of feel a little bit, it feels more prevalent now than it did at the time, that maybe this is going to be the next stage and there's the line of saying when it's safe for people to go outside, and it just struck a chord. The Daleks are really good. Hundreds and hundreds of Daleks flying around in space. The Dalek Emperor is brilliant. Oh, there's so much. There's so much that I could talk about in this episode, but I want to try and keep this feedback down, but I've just got hundreds and hundreds of things. The regeneration itself is brilliant. The actual effect is really good, and David Tennant's first lines are really good. But Barcelona. That last scene is the best regeneration scene of the new series. David Tennant's was too just mawkish. Peter Capaldi's went on for way too long. The 11th Doctor's was good, but it's just not as good as this. Brilliant last lines, brilliantly acted, brilliantly done, and a cliffhanger to go into the Christmas special, the Christmas invasion. Just keep throwing things at the screen to make people get excited. Come on. But of course, there was also another ending where the Doctor would be looking at the scanner and see that Rose's life form was failing or something. And it's a shame that wasn't included on the DVD because I'd love to see that. But anyway, next week, Christmas Invasion. And are you going to cover the little cutaway scene, the 10th Doctor's first scene? Because you should do that as well. I love the Christmas specials. So I'll talk to you then. Bye.
Cheers, Mr. M, a.k.a. Brandon.
Man, next week I start watching Blu-rays.
Do you now?
Ooh.
Wow.
Has anyone seen or is there footage of this mysterious alternate ending that was filmed before?
I'd like to see it.
Well, I think we'd all like to see it. And that's like saying, I'd like to win the lottery, Adam. Has anyone actually seen it? Or does anyone know if it actually has existed, or is it just wiped from history because Eccleston didn't want it seen? Or what?
If anybody's seen it, let us know and see it. Show, tell us where we can see it, because we'd like to.
I found it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Why am I not surprised? Post it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, I will post it.
He's posting it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
It's a fan-made one. I hate those fan-made.
Oh, is it a fan-made one?
I hate you.
I was just reading that there was another one that was filmed, but it was about Rose dying. That she was fatally affected by the Artron energy, and then the TARDIS monitor comes on indicating life form dying.
Oh, okay. That's basically what Brandon said, wasn't it? Talking of Mary, you've got some blurb to read out from. What was that funny noise?
The Miles.
Blurb.
I don't do that anymore.
What, blurb? You always talk in blurb.
I don't make that noise anymore, so it's him.
Good for you. you've been elevated in my eyes.
Yes, Terry Miles.
Okay, this is what they wrote. The Doctor.
Oh, this was a joke. Okay, so never mind that one.
Thanks for that, Kirby.
The Doctor, Rose, and Jack come around with amnesia and find themselves in various TV reality and game shows. The Doctor is in the Big Brother house while Rose is on the Weakest Link. The problem being those eliminated are disintegrated, so they think. Jack is in his element on a Trini and Susanna show. They are two female robots who offer to give contestants a complete new image. Yeah, I think this was based on What Not to Wear.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the name of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Doctor and Jack escape from their shows and start to search for Rose and find they are on Satellite 5, now run by the Bad Wolf Corporation and called the Game Station. The Doctor, Jack, and Linda with a Y find Rose, but she is promptly disintegrated for losing on the Weakest Link. They travel up to the control room, floor 500, where Jack works out the contestants are not disintegrated, but rather transmatted to a point in space. When they learn that Rose has arrived on a ship containing Daleks, again, the Doctor vows to rescue her and destroy the Daleks without a plan, which seems to scare the Daleks. They seem very afraid of him when he shouts, "They back off." I like that. They're showing the Daleks, you know, give that little, you know, pullback. Yeah, that was well done. The Doctor uses the TARDIS to rescue Rose and returns to the game station after confronting the Dalek Emperor. How come the Dalek and Jack are able to fire energy weapons in the TARDIS?
That's a point.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to, what is it, that Grace?
Yeah.
We discussed that nine years ago.
Okay.
I'll tell you when you're done.
The Doctor prepares to destroy the Daleks using a delta wave and tricks Rose into entering the TARDIS. He sends her back home to safety. the Daleks enter the PlayStation, and Linda with a Y, and Jack,
PlayStation,
many killed by the Daleks. Back on modern-day Earth, Rose notices the words Bad Wolf all around the area and realizes it is a message. Mickey and Jackie help Rose to prize open the heart of the TARDIS, and Rose establishes contact. Then, empowered by the time vortex, Rose returns to the Doctor, where she uses the vortex's power to destroy all the Daleks, resurrect Jack, and scatter the words Bad Wolf throughout time and space to lead herself to this point. The Doctor leaves the PlayStation and the now immortal Jack. Did everybody else come back from the dead? Is the Earth and all the people killed by the Daleks during the bombing now immortal? To stop the vortex power from killing Rose, the Doctor absorbs it by kissing her. Well, we've all used that excuse. Rose wakes up in the TARDIS just as the time energy is destroying the Doctor's cells, causing him to regenerate into the 10th Doctor, who then offers to take Rose to the planet Barcelona. Sorry, this one is so long. Pause for the phrase. That's what she said. But it was.
Madam.
But it was a double episode. And to that, it's Christopher Eccleston's last and two that I enjoyed on transmission, and again this time. Next up, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. No, that's not right. The Christmas Invasion. Sorry, it was the dressing gown and PJs got me confused. Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes.
I just had a thought, actually.
Yes, careful.
All of those things that were pointed out that Rose actually did when she was consumed by the TARDIS energy, all of those great things she did, the one thing that she didn't do was ensure that Uber Eats can deliver your McDonald's chips hot.
Oh, God. Well, talk about this the state of grace thingy.
I cannot
thingy.
Find that.
All right, thank you, sorry. Kirby. This state of grace thing. Let's try and take ourselves back a little bit to Earthshock, when there was lots of firing of cyber weapons in the TARDIS as Adric was leaving this mortal coil, just saying, and a few other occasions. It's whether the script dictates it or not.
Of course it is.
No, actually, as
here we go.
What we discussed 9 years ago is right around then there had been a Matt Smith story where he said that he'd made it up.
Who made? Oh, the Doctor made. Oh, darn.
The Doctor had made up.
That covers it. Just a throwaway line. Well done, Mr. Moffat. Okay, right then. What else we got?
No, don't give Mr. Moffat a bloody ding.
Give Mr. Moffat a bloody ding.
It was a sarcastic ding. Right then. Ding.
I could tell by the tone of the ding it was sarcastic.
Thank you. Here we go.
Well, my bad. 20 Megabytes, Andy Unley here. It is just about 7:30. I'm sitting here, and I've got a nice glass of Chardonnay because I need to have a tiny night, so I think I'm a loud one now. Adam, is that okay, Master? Please do tell me if I can't. And I just watched Bad Wolf while I was doing all the ironing from today. You know, I'm very domesticated and well-trained and stuff like that. And it's another cracker, isn't it? Because it starts off, you wonder where it's going. You don't know that it's going to be Satellite 5. You've got these game shows. Now, I don't watch game shows. I don't watch soap props. I'm into the Archers. But, you know, I don't follow those things, basically, because I've got an IQ that's actually more than in single figures. You know, I think they should have all the game shows and the soap operas and put them on a channel and call it Sun Reader Television. But that's just my opinion. What do I matter? What do I care? What do I know? But, yes, you've got... it's actually quite frightening. You think that could be the future of television, couldn't it? You know, that it becomes its lowest common denominator television, isn't it? Where it's... They've got films like Death Race 2000, like that. I think you've got the Hunger Games. I know about the Hunger Games. I understand that they are the same sort of principle, where it's almost death has become almost an entertainment. And if we think back to the Colin Baker story, which I've gone completely...
Vengeance on Varos.
You know what I mean? I've gone completely blank on it. Where it's TV is entertainment, but death is just entertainment, isn't it? 1984 is a bit like that. And if you've the film that George Lucas did, which is
Star Wars,
1138,
not UXP, but it's something like 1138. But it's the future is that death is just entertainment, and it's frightening. And you think that if you look at television these days, could it go that way? It's scary. Anyway, sorry, I'll get off my soapbox and start talking about Doctor Who instead. And this again is Chris Eccleston really, really taking the role on. You know, it's a shame he didn't stay, because he's so passionate about being the Doctor. You know, because he wants to get out of the house when he finds out what's going on. I love the way he takes Linda with him. Conned into that. She's a sweet. Oh dear God, never mind. But yeah, he's going to take the house on. Then he's going to take everybody else on. And he's going to do the right thing, because he really is so moralistic, isn't he? You know, probably the most. You've had some Doctor, like probably the most amoral Doctor in a way was Colin Baker. And he is perhaps the most moralistic Doctor, because he will always do the right thing. You know, we had the War Doctor, which obviously wasn't quite him, but that's another story entirely. But just, you know, he's going to make sure that, you know, the other ones, everybody lives and wants, he wants what he wants. And he goes through and he's finding out what's going on, and he's saving people. He doesn't understand at first. You know, thinking that he's been evicted, you know, you might see his show, poor soul, if he has. But then you realise they're dying, people are being killed, or if he thinks people are being killed, until Jack comes along. I mean, Jack is brilliant. I mean, Jack really is. And yeah, I bet John Badman loved getting his kit off, didn't he? God, see, what a narcissist he is, but he's a great actor. Not a lot for Rose this time. I mean, you know, Billy Piper really was in the background, though she did have on the weakest link. I wonder what happened to the other guy. The guy she was facing off against in the final. I wonder what happened to him. I don't recall seeing him at the end. Perhaps he was in the background there, and someone, obviously, you know, probably Kirby, will probably correct me and say, yes, he was doing this, that, and the other, but that's Kirby, because, you know, that's what you're good at, Kirby.
What other guy?
But the end of this, the end when you realise it's the Daleks. And what he says is, you've got no plan, you've got no weapons, you've got nothing. And doesn't that terrify you? Because that is what the Doctor does. He really does. You don't know what he's going to do. He's the maverick. He's the unknown. You never can tell. And that's what makes him so absolutely terrifying.
I wonder what he was going to say then. That was Andy Noni, everybody. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Yes. Before we move on to the last little bit of feedback, I have sent some blurb. This is a historic moment here on the 20 Megabyte Top 3 podcast, because Ben has on his iPhone, I presume, some text from the legend that is Alan T. Butcher.
The daytime TV game shows of the Daleks, or the theology of the Daleks. Dear 20 Megabyters, Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways is, of course, a closely studied allegation that both the media and religion are the opiate of the people. The Emperor Dalek has set up a theocracy to control his troops and to protect himself, and the Daleks are also revealed as having used the media to stunt humanity. That's it, essentially. Karl Marx was right. If he had lived on, he would have brought the media into the mix. It should be noted that while some might say that the magical TARDIS resolution of this story is damaging to the mythos of Doctor Who as a show, and a rather lazy bit of writing, which is pretty disappointing, in fact, that is only half true, because it's really hard to damage the mythos of the show, as we can just move on and don't look too hard at dodgy moves like that. We also learn of their demise of being much exaggerated, and the Daleks are back. All in all, Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways is filled with plenty to amuse and some to really impress, despite the story as a whole not being great.
What?
What?
I'm just checking that's what he's actually written. Yeah, and that I didn't read that wrong. No, those are the words.
Wow.
I know. The opening episode is obviously in a minority of one. It's called the Labour. It's called the Labour Party. Sorry, Alan. Sorry, politics.
A little bit of politics there.
I apologise, Alan. I shall go back to your beautifully crafted review. Oh, hold on. I nearly knocked off my can of Coke. That would have been an absolute disaster. Anyway, where was I? The opening episode is obviously successfully reaching out for a mass audience reaction by mass stunt casting, rich, large of a nature never conceived of before. As usual, there is expert use of appealing and quickly well-drawn minor characters, which really are Russell T. Davies' forte. Giving the Daleks a religious spin gives them a distinct and logical flavour. The Doctor's plan to commit another genocide to destroy the Daleks is shocking, out of character, but consistent with what we have learnt. Mm. Then, it's all solved by magic.
Oh, magic, come here. No, he's
the other one. The outstanding moment of these episodes is the epilogue, with a very emotional goodbye from the Ninth Doctor, given due time to breathe and dwell on his last moments. Piper and Eccleston really live up to what are by now high expectations, delivering potentially powerful performances. Sorry, my glasses didn't cover that bit. Piper and Eccleston really... Can you edit that? really live up to what are now high expectations, delivering really powerful performances. That's what you do. If you don't know the word, you just change it. It's easy. No one ever knows. The story is perhaps one episode too short, as I guess there may have been able to come up with a proper ending to the story, given the extra time. Harsh.
Yeah.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Big Red Button of Doom, or the Sleeping Doctor. Those are my thoughts. The wonderful Alan T. Butcher, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
That was ready for Ben, that big cheer. Well done. Hey, Mary, what do you think of that?
I think he did a great job. Yeah, I think Ellen will choose him in the future.
Yeah, he's the professional, remember?
Well, he did have about half an hour to digest it, though.
Yeah, no more re-stumbling.
Read it four times first. You don't stumble over it. You see, that's what it's all about. You've just got to practice.
I'll have to send it to just before.
Have you not noticed
before?
I've not said anything for 15 minutes because I've been reading all the big words. And right. Working out what most of them meant.
Right, we have one more piece.
Just two syllable words next.
Hello, 20 Megabat Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Captain.
Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways by Russell T. Davies. Doctor Who has a quiz.
Yay!
They reuse the Station 5 again. After the Doctor shuts down all the news stations in the previous story, Station 5 became the game station. Not as much fun as a PlayStation. The new owners are the Daleks, who have an overcomplicated plan to kidnap humans and use the most compatible to turn into new Daleks. The stars of some of the popular game shows of the time voiced Android versions. Trini and Susanna were ward robots.
Oh!
Everybody dies, apart from Jackie and Mickey. Rose gets taken over by the Time Vortex. Captain Jack gets brought back to life. The Doctor kisses Rose just to remove the Time Vortex energy. Yeah, right. Rose, as a bad wolf, kills every last Dalek.
Yep.
Not dead!
No. He says he's not dead!
Bye for now.
Cheers, Ian. Yes. Right, that concludes the feedback section of the show. It's quite nice to get lots and lots of feedback. Keep it coming. Right, so that moves us on to, I suppose I could do what do you call it, Kirby? It's whowon.co.uk.
Whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, that's who? The ones who are specialists in Doctor Who, basically, because that's what it says on their website. Doctor Who Limited. Oh, no, sorry. Who One Limited, Doctor Who Specialist. Now, They have stuff coming through on their latest products list, which is Doctor Who Magazine 562. Now, I got thinking about that, actually. I look after all the news agency stuff at my shop at Marks & Spencer. I wonder if I can get them to actually stock the Doctor Who Magazine. I'm going to give it a go. Playing cards, which features the 12th Doctor on them, in Ben's world, the last Doctor. And Coffee, which is a Torchwood story featuring Yanto. And then there's the earlier versions as well. So that's all stuff coming up, including Revolution of the Daleks DVD. Yes, also we're going to talk about the stuff that isn't out yet, the pre-orders coming soon. Fourth Doctor Dalek Universe, Dalek Protocol, which looks like it's going to be a big Finnish story featuring Tom Baker, a new one, but they haven't got an image for it at the moment, so we don't know what the cover looks like. Eighth Doctor Stranded 2, featuring a friend of the show, Paul McGann. Christmas Invasion, although he doesn't know he's friend of the show, which is rather ironic. A Christmas Invasion novel, which is well, it's quite apt that that's going to be our next story. And oh dear, Ben, what are you doing?
Sorry, that was me.
Unplugging your phono lead.
Good on it, sir.
And Drive, which is a Torchwood story. I think Eve Miles might be on the cover, and she's got a TV series out at the moment, which is apparently its last one. She's lost a hell of a lot of weight.
Torchwood. Have we come across Eve Miles before? I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure she's made a bigger one.
Never.
Beginning. A multiple Doctor story on Big Finish, which when I start listening to Big Finish, I'll probably be heading to that one fairly early on. So, yeah, that's a few bits and bobs that are coming out on Who Won Limited at whoone.co.uk. Now, I wanted to talk about LaVaza.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
I think so. Whoone.co.uk.
Yes. I wanted to talk about LaVaza. Because they sent an email through quite recently, at least I hope it sent this particular thing. Because, of course, they always do special offers and stuff like that. Now, let's see, what date was it? Oh, Saturday, here we are. Right, so it says, the version of Time and the Rani we never saw. So that's a thing that they've got a link to. The free ebook, 10 Objects of Doctor Who by Philip Bates. This is all if you subscribe to LaVaza, where you can buy stuff like Fourth Doctor scarves and Seventh Doctor jumpers and Paisley thingies and lots of memorabilia for Doctor Who or for wearing and
thingies.
Stuff like that. Yeah, thingies is a word. You can also enjoy being a fan with other fans, especially fans who are creative. So you can publish your fan fiction there and stuff like that. But yes, there's free ebook, 10 Objects of Doctor Who by Philip Bates. So you can download that. Who is the real Ninth Doctor? Of course, there's a picture of Rowan Atkinson. There is he the real Ninth Doctor? No, he's not. But wouldn't have been good if he had been. So yeah, so go to LaVaza.co.uk where you can have a lot of Doctor Who styled fun. And
LaVaza.co.uk.
Heroes. That's iwheroes.co.uk where they're fans of geeky stuff like we are, so they sell it basically. And if you live in the United Kingdom, you can get shipping. So head to iwheroes.co.uk, look through all their real fab items, lots and lots of Funko Pops. You like Funko Pops, but they sell other stuff that isn't Funko Pops, like Warhammer and stuff like that. So lots and lots of good stuff there. And that concludes that particular feature of the show, because I wanted to talk about BritBox. Now, BritBox UK, I can't vouch for the American version, have just brought out a load of Doctor Who...
The Australian.
Pardon?
The Australian version.
I don't know. BritBox UK have brought out a load of Doctor Who-related documentaries.
I already checked. We don't have those here.
Oh, yeah, what a shame.
It's not in BritBox America.
It's a shame, because it's really fab. And... yeah, so it's basically a lot of stuff that may have featured on DVDs as extras. I don't necessarily have all the DVDs because I might have bought earlier ones that they didn't do these documentaries for. But yeah, if you're a fan of Doctor Who, which you should be if you're listening to this show, and you want lots of inside outs and stuff like that.
The only special thing we have on our version is... The Doctor's Revisited that came out for the 50th
So you know what I'm talking about then, Kirby? I got lots
of... Yes, you posted it on Facebook.
I know, but I'm trying to find the link to it on the actual BritBox page so I can talk about it. But yeah, go to BritBox. I think if you've got the one, the app that's on the Fire Stick, for instance, it's a bit more user-friendly in regards to what it displays. It has that clever thing that they know what you like to watch, so they put it up on the screen so you can see it, basically so you can't miss it. But you can search Doctor Who, and it should come up on that particular search.
The Fire Stick that was in Unearthly Child.
Sorry, was that supposed to be funny? Oh, hang on, let's see if I can find a laughing sound effect for you.
Kirby laughed.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. laughing crowd, laughing... Nope, sorry, can't find one. There we go. Right, so, yeah, that was quite cool. Doctor Who News, I suppose we should do now, if there is any. I doubt there is. Sorry?
I said things are pretty quiet there.
They are, yes.
Not much is going on.
No, it's a sad state of affairs, and one of the items of news used to Google is episode 491 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast being released. That's not really Doctor Who news, is it? Yeah, so Doctor Who the Collection Standard Range. BBC Studios has announced a new standard packaging range for Doctor Who the Collection. The first titles to join the standard packaging range will be Season 12 and Season 19, which are available to reorder now. These are Blu-rays. Blu-rays, yes.
Was that Series
12
and Series 19?
Yes. Yes. I see what you're doing there, Ben. Yes, it's Series 12 and Series 19. I'm only reading off. Kirsty would be...
These are seasons.
Shut up. Kirsty would be particularly excited by these. Big Finish win Audi Award. I think I should have said Audi. The Big Finish has won the Best Audio Drama Award at the Audi Awards 2021 with the Eighth Doctor story, Stranded One. So that might be one.
Bloody hell!
Who's
regenerating?
Oh, well, don't they have a mute button on Skype Australia or something?
It's either that, or you were really excited by that news.
Yeah. Were you doing a bit of rodeo at that point, by any chance? Should I put a whiplash sound effect just to make it sound effective?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's basically all there is in Doctor Who News, but it's quite good, isn't it? So next time we delve into the David Tennant era. I was actually thinking about this, because obviously he's appeared in the last scene of Series 1, so therefore he appeared in four consecutive series of Doctor Who, plus obviously one with Matt Smith. Five series of Doctor Who.
Master.
Oh, God, here we go.
Officially, Christmas Invasion is part of Series 1, even though it's not on the Series 1 DVDs.
Okay, but so basically you're saying I'm right. So you did hear
that.
Plus his own little
mini-series. You're always right.
So essentially it's five series of Doctor Who, to a certain degree. So yes, the most prolific of the modern era Doctors. And we pick up with that on the next episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, which, although that's a page on Facebook which you can join.
Yeah, are we recording next Sunday or skipping?
I haven't been told.
As it's Easter Sunday next.
What do you think, guys? Do you think we should have Easter Sunday off?
Well, I can't do it next Sunday because Man United are playing.
That's what she said. But I was asking whether we should have Easter Sunday off.
It doesn't matter to me.
You know,
I'm good either way.
It's just another Sunday. I mean,
do you know? I think. So as people
it's not Kirby Bartlett.
So as people can settle down from the shell shock of losing Christopher Eccleston permanently on the screen, at least as the Doctor, I think we'll have Easter Sunday off, so everybody can get really excited about the us embarking on the David Tennant era the week after that, and then I'll also be in.
You're talking about getting excited about going to see. Launching ourselves into the David Tennant.
I am,
era.
Yes, and also I'll be very excited about being in a certain person's good books next Sunday.
Well,
I will post something a little later today on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, saying that we're skipping a week.
Yes. Robert Vince,
I will be humorous about it.
Will you?
I may or may not be back in a fortnight, Adam.
Why?
I got permission today, and funding came through to erect. That's what she said. My new shed, / man cave / recording studio. Yeah. So, I might be in a situation where things are or aren't working. So
does this mean you'll have three sheds? You'll no longer need
three sheds? No, I've got How many have I got at the moment? I've got 3 sheds at the moment. That means I'll have 4 at the time. And then I've got to rejig them all, which is going to take a hell of a work.
You can only do a new one if you paint it blue. And
I'm sure he's. More. I'm sure it's his shed and he's allowed to not paint it blue, Kirby.
No. I was actually... I did say to the wife earlier that I might build a 3-sided TARDIS for the front of the
3-sided?
Shed. 3-sided? Well, yeah, because clearly I don't need a 4th side, Adam, because it's the front of the bloody shed. So I'll build 3, you know, 2 sides in the front, and then you go in the front, and then the next door to the shed, you see. I might do that, because that would look quite cool, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I know the people in the houses neighbouring me would absolutely love it. Well, that, not take the mickey out of me behind my back.
It just reminds me of that episode of The Big Bang Theory when Amy wins Howard's TARDIS in a game of ping pong. But they just puts the frame of the door over her apartment door, and of course instead of having a bit of intimate fun with Sheldon just dresses up with the Fourth Doctor and just keeps running in and out of the door. Just saying. Right, talking of Doctor Who, did anybody see It's a Sin, the magnificent series It's a Sin, and the bits where
I saw that bit where they relive the resurrection of the Daleks.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? Anyway, I just thought I'd say that.
I saw that section, and it was moderately interesting, but it wasn't that cool.
I'm afraid it was, because the series itself was brilliant. Right.
I've got it ready to watch.
Good, it's good. It's very sad, but it's good. But it's sad, and it's got some upbeat things. It's just very, very well written. I don't know who wrote it. Russell T. Hang on, I have to look it up. Russell T. Somewhere. Anyway, right, so that's it then. So in 2 weeks' time, if everything goes to plan, we'll be back here to talk about Christmas Invasion. So thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please,
do the closing speech again better, because you said the Christmas Invasion.
No, I'll stick with that. It's just I'm just being consistent. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Love ya.
Barcelona.
So yeah, so I'm gonna have a lovely new setup. So and I might also be able to get rid of these bloody fans as well, and because I'm gonna try and get some sort of extractor system in there as well. So
Well,
the fans at the moment are all
they ask for autographs.
They're all fenced off. It's fine. They can't get to me. So I don't pay them any attention because they just come back. You know, they get worse. As soon as you start, you know, giving them a little bit, they want more. And I can't give it all. You know what I mean?
Oh.
See, this bit should be on the podcast extra.
Should it?
Yes.
Well, on the bits that people have to pay for.
Good idea. I mean, we could make literally pence or cents.
I have wondered if you ever looked into starting a Patreon.
What?
Oh, goodness.
Well, how many people download it every week?
5 or 6. Oh, I haven't been paying attention to that.
So we literally would be sharing like £6 each every week.
Yeah.
And after Adam's like taken away.
No, seriously, how many people do?
I don't know. Downloads are quite low because a lot of people stream it.
I check how many people are listening to my website about 54 times a day.
Well, I know the downloads, the old-fashioned downloads are about 70, something like that, but then they gradually go up. Because people, if you go back to the old days, all those episodes get re-listened to, and then people pick up the show in hindsight, and then they gradually build up. As the time they go out, it's quite low. It's a lot lower than it used to be, but streaming-wise, it's still quite high.
Are you basically saying that episodes of Doctor Who that go out on telly now haven't got such high viewing figures because people watch it on the iPlayer later?
Yeah.
That sounds exactly the same as you've just said.
Yeah.
Well, how many people do stream it?
I don't get figures for streaming. Don't get figures for streaming. I used to, but I don't get a streaming figure. I only get the downloads directly from the website figures.
Oh, fair enough.
Harry.
Get your own arts program, you fairy. Arthur, Two Sheds, Jackson.
Right, I've got
to
go.
But that's the thing. If you were going to do something like paid, it would have to be on a weekly and up-to-date basis. And so you'd need people to be downloading it as it went out. Otherwise, it would make no sense to do it.
Yeah, we're not that popular. But we have a fan base, and we do the show for them.
That's right, we do. Yeah. And I do it so I get out of the house in the evening.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.